This Thursday in the second week of Lent, however, is also this year the feast of St. Gregory the Great, great father of the Church and holy doctor. He is, in fact, also our preacher this day. Every day of Lent, in the night office of the Church, what is called the office of Matins, we have the reading of the Holy Gospel and then a commentary on that Gospel that is one of the ancient sermons preached by one of our fathers in the faith for each day of Lent on each passage of the Gospel which we hear every day. And today it is St. Gregory who preaches on today's Gospel and expounds to us especially the allegorical sense, which must be tied in today to the rest of the Mass. I reminded you now a full 2 weeks ago, that is on Thursday after Ash Wednesday, that there are three spiritual senses of Scripture. And so in every one of these Masses, we may ask ourselves the question, where today do I find the Church? Where do I find my own soul? And where is eternity? Where are these three things to be found in the Gospel each day and in all the prayers and readings of the Mass? It is noteworthy that it has now been two Thursdays since that first Thursday, for on all of the Thursdays so far, the theme has been very much the same, that of the Old Testament giving way to the New. The testament of the chosen people, the Hebrews, giving way to the testament of all nations, the Gentiles. For on Thursday after Ash Wednesday, we have the gospel of the centurion, the Roman soldier, who comes and expounds his faith before our Lord Jesus Christ, and to whom our Lord, and before whom all our Lord declares, "Amen, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel," and declaring that henceforth all nations would come and sit down at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, while the people to whom that inheritance was to belong shall be cast out. Last Thursday, we have the gospel of the Canaanite woman, again, a Gentile, who came to beseech our Lord that he come and cast out the devil from her daughter. His disciples wanted to chase her away, and our Lord, seemingly to test all present, declares it is not fair to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. To which the woman replies, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." At which point our Lord declares, "O woman, great is thy faith. May it be unto thee as thou hast believed and asked." Now we find ourselves on Thursday in the second week of Lent. And at first glance, we might say that perhaps we do not quite continue the same theme today. Today is the gospel of Lazarus and Dives. That is simply Lazarus and the rich man. And the moral lesson to us today is very clear. That those who do not practice works of charity, those who do not give to the poor and care for them in this life, will be punished very severely in the world to come. For the rich man today denies all good things to the poor beggar Lazarus. He will not, we are told, give him anything. This man was clothed in purple and fine linen and ate every day in splendid fashion. And this poor man, Lazarus, we are told, lay at his gate, covered with sores, longing to be filled with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And even the dogs would come and lick his sores. Each of them then receives his just deserts. Lazarus is taken into Abraham's bosom, that is, the place where the blessed go before they enter heavenly glory with the New Testament. And the rich man is cast into hell. According to St. Gregory, though, we see a continuation today of the same allegory we have had in these past two Thursdays. He says there is no doubt that Lazarus represents all the peoples of the Gentiles, while the rich man is the Hebrew nation. We are told that the rich man is clothed in purple and fine linens and eats sumptuously every day. Yes, he says, for that is the case with the Hebrew people. Up until this time, they have been the ones finely clad. They have been the ones given all good things, all good spiritual things, for they alone had the truth. The Gentiles, represented by Lazarus, are the ones who were at the gate, who could not enter into this testament, and who lay there begging. The chosen people would not so much as cast any crumbs before them. The only thing that could come upon the Gentiles was dogs to come and lick their sores. We have already been told, we understand from other passages which we have already heard of the gospel, that dogs represent the Gentiles. They represent the heathen. He says here, though, they also foretell the preachers that would come and finally declare the truth to the Gentiles. This is then the veritable allegory here today, that the rich man up until now is to be cast forth, and the poor man, the beggar, Lazarus, that is, the church of all nations, is now about to come and take his place. We should not forget another important lesson, however, which is that the allegory we find throughout Lent always feeds in immediately to the moral sense. Yes, we have the notion that the Old Testament gives way to the New, that the church of the chosen people, the Hebrew nation, which was found unworthy and who rejected the Savior, gives way now to the church of all nations. This, however, this lesson is not repeated year after year, time after time, all these times during Lent especially, so that Gentiles may simply pat themselves on the back and congratulate themselves that they now have the truth. No, if the church insists on repeating these lessons every year on the church calendar, it is as a stern warning to the Gentiles that just as the Hebrew nation had to give way to the Gentiles, so unworthy and unfaithful Gentiles will have to give way to those who are worthy, which is where we find our own soul in today's parable. We are taught that just as in the past those who were unworthy had to give way to those who were deserving, true beggars, the true poor in spirit, as our Lord would say, now we must take heed lest by our lack of generosity, our unwillingness to give of ourselves, and our unwillingness to share the truth with others, we be condemned with this rich man and have to give way to others who do bear the fruits of the gospel. This is why the passage of the prophet Jeremiah was chosen today. It is the best commentary on every word of today's gospel. For speaking of these two men, the rich man and Lazarus, we find that the prophet says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh his flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like tamarack in the desert. He shall not see when good shall come, but he shall dwell in dryness in the desert, in a salt land, and not inhabited." That is, this rich man who is now in hell and in the bitter torments of the fires of hell. "Blessed, on the contrary, be the man that trusts in the Lord, and the Lord shall be his confidence, and he shall be like as a tree that is planted by the waters." If we read in the text, it's a tree who has been transplanted to those waters. That is, the Gentiles who have now been transplanted into the fruitful waters of the New Testament. "Tree that spreads out its roots toward moisture, and shall not fear when the heat cometh." The leaf thereof shall be green, and in the time of drought it shall not be solicitous, neither shall it cease at any time to bring forth fruit. In the description of hell which we have today, we are reminded of the very literal truth of this gospel, that the torments of hell are eternal, and that after the final judgment there can be no passage. Once we are judged, there is no passage. We are told today there is a great gulf between one place and the other. Absolutely no passage between heaven and hell. All who go to those destinations are fixed there for all eternity. And so we conclude then with the warning of the prophet in his prayer, the heart is perverse, above all things and unsearchable. Who can know it? I am the Lord who search the heart and prove the reins, who give to everyone according to his way and according to the fruit of his devices, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen.